For that, if you would open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, we'll read a few verses over there, and I appreciate the help in the business meeting, and I try to mention this every time, but if anybody would like a copy of the treasurer's report printed out, just see Brother James or myself. He always puts one on the back board as well. So we want everybody to know that's available. I did notice that Brother James didn't mention that we earned interest of $1.99. We need to decide what to do with that. that's pretty bad, isn't it? I think I remember where you actually once upon a time could gain some interest on checking and savings and things, and boy, those days are just about gone as far as that's concerned. But anyway, making a little light of that, but that's really not that funny. But anyway, I just want to read a few verses tonight in Luke chapter number 17, and I'm going to try to close this study out tonight, unless the Lord really shows me something else. I'll just finish up. We've been studying about as it was in the days of Noah. Now, help me pray. I've got a book or two on my mind. I'm thinking about studying, and I want to be led of the Lord in doing that. And so I desire your prayers as I try to decide and discern where we need to go. I really like to study the books, and this has been sort of a subject study. And this is the fourth night, but we've been studying as it was in the days of Noah. We'll try to finish this up tonight and start by reading Luke chapter 17 and verse number 26 through verse number 30. There's just been a few things still on my mind and on my heart I'd like to try to bring out tonight, and then we'll be done with this. Luke chapter 17, verse 26, the Bible said, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And so that's where we'll start tonight. And you just pray for me. I've had a lot of scattered thoughts I wanted to try to bring together. But we'll try the best we can tonight. If we left this study, I'd like to leave you with one thought that I think is something that needs to be brought out, and that's what I would call what we see here, the overwhelming attitude of the day. And I believe the immediate context of the verses will bear this out, what I'm talking about. Let's read verse 27 and 28. This is how it was in the days of Noah. It said, "They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." And in verse 28, "Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded." And what I get out of these verses, if you just maybe read it the first time, not where we've went back and studied in depth about the days of Noah, but if you just read those verses and maybe you didn't even know a whole lot about the book of Genesis and the days of Noah, what would you get out of that? What I get out of that in verses 27 and 28 is that the majority of people in the world at that time, they just went about business as usual. That's what we see there in those verses. In the days before the flood, in the days of Noah, and then we also know it's talking about before Sodom and Gomorrah, before God rained out fire and brimstone out of heaven, people were just going about their business as usual. Just like nothing special or nothing interesting was going on. And if we are comparing this in verse number 26, as it was in the days of Noah, if we are taking their society and laying it down beside our society or our world that we live in, and we want to know what it's going to be like when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, if we look at how it is now and we look at how it was then, what we're going to see is the great majority of people in the world are just, in spite of everything, just going about their business like nothing. Like nothing is different. Like nothing is changing. Like nothing is getting ready to happen in the world. That's what we have a picture of here in these verses. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. They drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. People just went right along with their business like nothing. And that's how that people are living today. Like they don't have a care in the world except what is going on right here, right now. That's how people live their lives then. That's how people are living their lives now. Just like they don't have a care in the world. And so far we've seen the men, we looked at the marriages and what was wrong with that. We've seen the race of giants, the fallen angels and all of those things. We've seen the morality of the day. I might mention just a little bit more about that tonight. We've seen last week the mindset of that day, the religion of that day, how that it was pagan, how that it was based upon the stars and the gods. And you know, every one of our planets except planet Earth is named after an ancient god. Jupiter, Mars, Neptune, all of them. They're all named after pagan gods. The most ancient false religion in the world is based on the stars and the sky. And we talked about that, and there's a going back to that. But tonight, I want to just point out one thing, and I'll bring out all these things. We're going to look at some different verses in the Bible, different passages, but I think we need to see before we move on, there's the monotony of the day, the sameness of the day, the routine of the day, what they were doing. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage, they bought, they sold, they planned it, just the same old thing. And so you see what I'm getting at tonight. People just live their lives like the only thing that was going on was right there, right here and right now. And so that's what I want to look at tonight, the monotony of the day. You know, I've even said this before, and I preached several years ago. I made the statement, if I was the devil, I would keep the economy going. I would keep credit easy, loans easy to get, jobs, because people are going along and don't have a care in the world. And I always thought if things got bad, that you would at least have some people that would start to see that this thing is getting real serious, and they would seek God, want to get right with God, want to not be found wanting when the Lord Jesus Christ come back. And so I preach that, and I've said that, and I had always thought if things got bad, at least some people would come and make things right with God. And you know, as I was saying about this message tonight and this Bible study, you know, we've had at least 3 years of different times. We've had at least 3 years, maybe even a little bit longer than that now, of economic crisis. Locally, states are running out of money. States are facing bankruptcy. Nationally, there's financial problems. Globally, there's financial problems. And anybody that knows a teaspoonful of the Bible, they'll even tell you, you know, that's right out of the Bible. That's right out of the Bible. I mean, people out here today that don't even go to church and don't even act like they care about it, they'll tell you, boy, these days we're living in, these things are right out of the Bible. We've had at least 3 years of economic crisis. You know, I flipped through the paper today, and it said that the jobs report is not as good as they thought it was. Well, duh, I could have told them that. I'm amazed, and you take several years and read the newspaper every day, you'll get this flowery report, usually about election time or primary time, and boy, things is getting better. And then you keep reading, and it won't be long, they'll come out and they'll say, well, it wasn't as good as we thought it was. Now that happens all the time. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we've had at least 3 years of that. We've had at least 3 years or more of all kinds of worldwide disasters, tsunamis, earthquakes, hundreds of thousands of people killed and dying because of drought and fires and local tragedies and tornadoes where there's never been tornadoes before and earthquakes where there's never been earthquakes before, and still people out here in the world, they'll tell you, they'll say, well, that's how it's going to be in the last days, you know, and these things are what the Bible says. And so been several years of that and political turmoil and even talk about Armageddon type scenarios. I mean, there's even shows on television about what do they call one of them? I've watched a couple of times. Doomsday Preppers and Doomsday 2012 and all kinds of talk about all these things. And so you know what I'm getting at tonight. But I say all that to say this. If there has been one person in Watauga County that has seen these things that are taking place and been moved to get right with God because the days are short, I don't know anything about it. Do you know anything about anybody like that? Anybody, anywhere, at any time in the past few years, and I think Sister Jan mentioned last Wednesday night about the hurricanes or the tornadoes that had hit down in lower part of the state, and hey, you never hear about anybody that says, a tornado is coming, I need to get right with God. You just don't hear about that. You just don't hear about it. Everybody would agree these are uncertain times and all that, but as far as I know, you just don't see people getting right with God because of it. And I think that goes right in with our similarities we're looking at here in this passage of Scripture. As it was in the days of Noah, they ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage, they planted, they built, and they just went right along like they had always went along, just the same old routine, same old everything. And we see that even out here in the world today. I do not see anybody getting right with God because we're living in perilous times. What I see as I study here in the Word of God, I see there's two sides. You know, that's basically what it boils down to today. There's two sides. And I don't mean this mean in saying this, but there's the haves and the have-nots. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about financial having. I'm talking about you either have the Lord Jesus Christ or you have not the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everything. You have eternity. You have heaven. You have hope. You've got it all. And so there's the haves, the one that really have the Lord, and there's the have-nots. They don't have the Lord. It's very obvious. There's a very clear distinction between the two. You have the cares and the care-nots. You have people that care about what's going on. They're concerned about souls, they're concerned about eternity, they're concerned about the days and the times in which we live in. And so you have the cares and you have the care nots. There's people that just don't care about it. All they care about is the next NASCAR race, all they care about is going and playing, all they care about is what's on TV. You know, they just don't care. I mean, you can stand on the rooftop and, like I've said before, you can preach your lungs out, and there's just some people, they don't care. I don't care. This don't mean nothing to them. I see that here. And there's the righteous and there's the reprobates. And we're going to look back in Genesis. Look in Genesis chapter number 5. And I'll show you what I'm talking about tonight. Now, we've been looking in chapter 6. But I want to look in chapter number 5. I spent most of my day today, and I'm not exaggerating in saying that, in chapter number 5. And when I left the church over here about, I think it was 2:30 or 3:30, but I had to go get a part for my mom. And Brother Rodney, when I left your house, I didn't have a note. I just didn't have nothing. I told Kim, I said, I just don't have nothing. And so you prayed for me tonight. But I spent most of the day in Genesis chapter number 5 trying to get in my mind and look at some things. And I'm just going to share with you a few things I found today and wrote down a few notes this afternoon. And so in Genesis chapter number 5, we have the righteous In Genesis chapter number 6, we have the reprobates. And I'm going to get into that a little bit tonight. But I want us to look just at one person, especially in Genesis chapter number 5, and that is Lamech, verses 28 through 31. Verse 28 through 31 in Genesis chapter number 5, the Bible said, "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son." Now, let me say this before we really get into this. Either you believe the Word of God or you don't. And there's a lot of people, they scoff. Now, the devil hates the first, he hates all of it, but he especially hates the first 10, 11 chapters in the book of Genesis. Because it tells on him. But now, we're either going to believe this or we're not. There's a lot of people that say, well, you know, these genealogies and these years and this flood and this fall and all this stuff, you know, that's a myth. Well, you can believe what you want to, but I believe every part of it is inspired of God. I don't believe the earth is a million years old. It's thousands of years old. And I believe these genealogies and these numbers and these lifespans, I believe they're all correct. And so you read that right. Lamech was 182 years old, and he begat a son. You ladies say, praise the Lord, we don't live then. Because we're in our 40s and we're done. But anyway, verse 29, "And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died." Now, there's some unique things about Lamech that I want to point out tonight, and I think it goes along with our study. Now, anybody that died at 777 years old, there has to be something interesting about that person. If you know anything about the Bible, Bible numerology, you know 7 is God's number, God's number of completion, God's perfect number. And old Lamech, you know, he died when he was 777 years old. So there's got to be some interesting things about Lamech. First thing I found interesting about Lamech is his name. His name means why. Why is this happening? Isn't that interesting? Why? I believe Lamech had some unique spiritual insight that maybe was above and beyond the others. He's just a unique person to study about. He's Noah's father, for one thing. And when Noah was born, Lamech said something about Noah. In verse number 28, it said, he begat a son, verse number 29, and he called his name Noah, saying, now the name Noah means rest. That's what the name Noah means. And so he said about his son, he said, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And so here Noah's father says this about Noah, that maybe he'll be the one to comfort us. Maybe he'll be the one to give us rest concerning this curse that God has put upon the earth and this hard life and this wicked place we're living in. Maybe he'll be the one. He had some prophetic insight, Lamech did. Now, they knew about Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. We've already studied about that, where God told Adam and Eve and the devil there about the enmity that would be between her seed and his seed. And, thou shalt bruise his head, but he'll bruise thy heel. Or maybe I said that backwards there, but they knew about a promised one to come. And they were looking for that one. They didn't know when he was going to come. But it didn't take them long to get tired of that fallen, sinful world that they were living in. And they were looking for the Redeemer. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the one, the promised seed that would come and would change this back to the way that God intended for it to be. They had no idea how long this battle was going to rage on. And so Lamech said, they were looking now. All of these men, if we were to study about them, this is a righteous group of men in Genesis chapter number 5 and their families. And all of them, I believe, they's looking. There's one going to come. It's going to deliver us out of this mess. I like that, but of course I know what I've been studying about. But he said, I'm looking. Maybe he's the one. You know, we ought to live our lives like that. Maybe it won't be long. Maybe it won't be long. It might be longer than we think, but I tell you, it'll help you get through this life if you look at it like Lamech. Maybe it won't be long. Maybe it won't be long. And so he had some prophetic insight. And they were looking for that promised seed that would come and bruise the head of the serpent there. And so it seems like Lamech is especially spiritually awake and insightful. And so his name means why. Why is this happening? Why is this going on? And he has a son whose name is Noah that means rest. Maybe he'll be the one to deliver us and comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands. And then there were some experiences that Lamech had in his life. Now, I guarantee you tonight, most people have not sat down and thought about the implications in Genesis chapter number 5 of people living to be over 900 years old. But most of these men in Genesis chapter number 5 lived to be over 900 years old. Now, as a result of that, Lamech had some unique experiences. Now, when Lamech was a wee little lad, you study this out when you get home, get you a calculator like I did and do your own homework. But when Lamech was a wee little lad, just 56 years old, there was a tragic event happened in his life that had to shake him up and the other people that lived around him. And what happened in Lamech's life when he was 56 years old is that his great, 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 great grandfather died. You think about that. Adam would have died when he was 56 years old, when Lamech was 56 years old. The Bible said in Genesis 5 and verse number 5, and all the days of Adam and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. And you can figure that out when you get home and you read when all these people were born in relation to Adams. But Lamech, that would have been his great-grandpa, six times removed. Now, when the man that God created finally died. Now, there had been other people that had died. Abel had died, but he was murdered. And I'm sure that more than likely, probably, the other people had died, but now when Adam died, you know that really hit home to them that because they'd sinned, they's all going to die. Well, if old Grandpa Adam died, you know we're all going to die. And that would have caused, now Lamech, he's all the way on the other end of Genesis chapter number 5. And he has a living link back, his grandpa, six times removed, is the man that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And boy, that just seemed like eternity for Adam to be around, but he still was, but he died. In Adam, we all die. And Adam finally came to the time in his life where Adam died, and so that would have had a great impact, no doubt. Would have been a very big deal. If any of you remember, maybe when you were little, I remember when I was little and I got the news that my great-grandpa had died. And how that, I still remember that to this day. Charles Thompson is my great-grandpa, and I remember when he died, and I remember receiving that news. He was my great-grandpa, and that had an impact upon my life. I was young, very young at that time, but I remember that. So it was a big deal in Lamech's life when he was 56 years old. And then you can figure this out as well. When he was just a young man, at 113 years old, you know what happened in Lamech's life? His grandpa got to missing. You know who his grandpa was? Enoch was his grandpa.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Now, all of these people were living except for Noah at that time. Lamech, have you seen your grandpa Enoch around anywhere? Last time anybody seen him, he went out there walking with God, and we don't know. And that's what the Bible says. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Can you imagine that in your life? And probably even they knew that God took him. I mean, we know that God took him. But I'm sure, like it is nowadays, not everybody got the first-hand news. And Enoch's dad and his granddad and his great-granddad and great, they'd all known. And his son and his grandson, they all knew that Enoch was gone missing. That had never happened any time in all the history of the world up until that time. Nobody had ever just went to heaven without dying, but Enoch did. And Lamech, no doubt, why? Why is these things happening? Why does Adam die? Oh, why does Enoch disappear? And so Lamech's a very interesting figure to study about. Lamech had a daddy whose name, now his daddy's Methuselah. If you study in Genesis chapter number 5, you probably already know tonight that Methuselah lived longer than any of the rest of them in Genesis chapter number 5. 969 years. And Methuselah's name, if you study it out, his name basically means when he dies, it shall come. Can you imagine having a grandpa named when he dies, it shall come? It what? Grandpa, how you feel today? I hope you feel good because we know when you die, it's going to come. We don't even know what it is, but that'd be a bad omen, wouldn't it? So you got a daddy that his name means when it dies. When he dies, it shall come. And if you study this out, you study out these 777 years from the time that he was born, Lamech lived until just 5 years. He died 5 years before his daddy died, Methuselah. So Lamech is interesting for several reasons. He has a reach that goes back as far as creation and Adam in his history. And he has a reach forward. Now, he lived till 5 years before the flood came upon the earth. So he lived through all them wicked times. He knew what God had told Noah to do. He had saw Noah out there sawing on them logs. And no doubt Noah had told him, his daddy, Noah, he is Noah's dad. No doubt he knows about what God had told Noah and all of these things. He saw Noah build the ark and work on the ark, and there's no reason to believe that he wouldn't even have helped. I believe that Noah's family, now the Bible doesn't say, but I just think that they would have helped him work on that ark, build on that ark. So Lamech knows all of these things. In chapter number 5, Genesis chapter number 5, Noah's family, that's Noah's family there. He's the 10th one that's mentioned. Noah is. They are righteous and they all die before the flood. Methuselah died in the year that the flood came. Methuselah died. His name means when it, and you figure it out with a calculator. If you need some help, I'll help you, and I don't have time to get into all of it tonight, but the year that Methuselah died is the year that the flood came upon the earth. That's the it. Methuselah is prophetic. They all died except for one, and that was Lamech's grandpa, Enoch. Enoch is taken, Enoch is translated 69 years before Noah is born. When I studied about that and thought about that today, I thought 69 in the Bible is an interesting number. He was taken, he was translated, he was raptured 69 years before Noah was born. I won't get all into that tonight, but in the book of Daniel, Daniel talks about 69 weeks and 70 weeks. The church will all be gathered in before the 70th week begins. I believe that's what we have a picture of between Enoch and Methuselah dying. I believe we have a picture there of the times of the Gentiles and all the Gentile church being gathered in before that 70th week of Daniel, which is the Great Tribulation. And I believe the flood is a type of the Great Tribulation. So I thank God tonight I'm not preaching. I don't believe that we're going to go through the tribulation. I believe we're all going home before that time of Jacob's trouble begins. And that's our blessed hope. That's what ought to encourage us about these days in which we live. Sure, they may be dark and it may be different and people may not care, but you know what? We've got more of a chance of seeing Jesus from these bodies and meeting Him in the air than any other generation of Christians that's ever been upon the earth. We might be like Lamech. We might say a whole lot why, but there is a reason. There's a reason. It's all right to say why. And so 69 years before Noah is born, Enoch is taken. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2 in verses 4 and 5. The Bible tells us over there, if you want to turn page 1318, if you've got a Scofield Bible, and keep your place in Genesis 5 and 6, but I want to read these verses tonight. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to read these and then I'm going to say a little bit about it. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Now, I want you to notice there in verse number 5, it said, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person." Now, there was eight people in that ark. Noah was the eighth. That's what that means, the eighth person. But it says this, a preacher of righteousness. I got to thinking about that. What's that really mean? He was a preacher of righteousness. So I get down my commentaries, you know, and I like to go to J. Vernon McGee first. Not saying he's the best, but he's definitely the easiest to understand. I like to read after him. He put the cookies on the bottom shelf. You know what he said about that? He didn't say nothing about that. That's how most commentaries are. He just skipped right over it. It went into great detail about a lot of other things, but he didn't give me nothing about that. But the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Now, we have always imagined that. I have imagined in my mind, and I've even preached this. I've preached this right here at Mount Lebanon, that Noah, here he is out there, he's working on that ark. He works a while, and he preaches to them heathens a while. He's working on that ark and he'll take a break. He'll say, "You bunch of heathens, God's going to judge you. God's going to send a flood." They say, "What's a flood? We don't know what rain is." And so he says, "That's why I'm building an ark, and the only salvation's going to be in the ark. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to be in the ark too." I've preached it sort of like that before, and I've heard it preached like that before, but I got to study, and I think I said this last Sunday, study. And it'll mess up your preaching sometimes. You study and it'll mess up your messages you preached and just been sure off. Look over in Genesis chapter number 6. I was just reading this the other day again, trying to get it fresh in my mind, and the Lord showed me some things. And I'm going to, before I read the verses, I'm going to tell you what I think. And you can compare it with Scripture and see what you think. I think this, I think Noah's preaching was before he started working on that ark. And I'll show you why. I think his preaching days was his first 500 years, and when God told him to start building on that ark, I don't know if he preached any more after that or not. I'm going to show you why I say that. Noah's preaching was before the shipbuilding. Number two, I believe this. God never intended for anybody other than Noah and his family to be on that ark. I'm going to show you why I say that. And another thing the Lord showed me, that wickedness that God said He was going to flood the earth over, it went on for another 100 years after God told Noah to build that ark. I'll show you these things so you see it and you decide for yourself. Noah's preaching was before the ship building. Chapter 6 and verse number 1, it said, let me just read chapter 5, verse 32, so you'll see where we get this 500 years old, 600 years old. The Bible said in chapter 5, verse 32, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. There's his age. Noah was 500 years old, and then we come into chapter number 6, and it came to pass when men began to multiply. I'm not going to read all this for sake of time, but we've seen all those verses, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, there's something different about Noah than the rest of that crowd. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he goes on down. And he tells him to build the ark and how big to build it and what he's going to do and the animals. And he tells him all them things. And so Noah does that in chapter 7 in verse 1. Look what the Bible says. Chapter 7 in verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Noah was righteous before. He was righteous before. His righteousness is contrasted with the great wickedness of the whole earth. Noah was preaching righteousness, and I believe other members of his family. Enoch was a prophet, reading the book of Jude. Enoch prophesied, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Boy, I like that. They had preaching. They knew it took the blood because of Abel's offering. I preached on that last Sunday. They weren't in the dark concerning the things of God. And I believe Noah was preaching all that time. He was righteous, and God saw that righteousness. God saw something in him. God said in chapter 6, you're not corrupt. The rest of this crowd's corrupt. You're not corrupt. And so I believe he was preaching during them first 500 years. Now, God never intended for anyone other than Noah's family to be on the ark. Look in chapter 6 and verse number 18. It said over there that God told Noah. Now, chapter 6, 15, 16, 17, the dimensions of the ark. Chapter number 18, God told Noah, but with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. God didn't say, and build some extra rooms over there in case anybody decides they want to get right with God. God said, you're going to be in the ark, your sons are going to be in the ark, and your wives is going to be in the ark. And that's all I ever read about getting invited into the ark except for the animals. Now the wickedness of that generation went on for another 100 years. In chapter 5 and verse number 32, the Bible said Noah was 500 years old. Chapter 7 and verse number 6, the Bible said, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. That's how you get that there was 100 years. Now I said chapter number 5, you had the righteous. Chapter number 6, you have the reprobates. This generation, this 100 years, I say all that crowd was of a reprobate mind. And God had already cut their lights off. When God spoke, look at this. When God spoke to Noah and said, I'm done with that crowd. I'm going to destroy them all. You're going to build an ark. Going to save you and your family. When God spoke to Noah and told him, I'm done with them. He was done with them. They wasn't no more use for, as far as I read in the Bible, for Noah to preach no more righteousness, because God had already turned them over to a reprobate mind. God didn't say, make some room, in case anybody wants to get... God had already made up his mind. In real time, it took Noah 100 years to build the ark. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 says this, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was up-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Do you know it was the long-suffering of God that waited 100 years for Noah to build that ark? God would have just... could have been done with them 100 years earlier. But the long suffering of God waited on the ark to put those eight people in. That's the long suffering of God. God is long suffering. He let them heathens go on in their wickedness and their ungodliness for another 100 years. Look in Romans chapter number 1. I'll quickly try to close tonight and be done. And I've never seen this application before, but I believe you know what's in Romans chapter number 1. That talks about what it means to be turned over to a reprobate mind. And I believe Paul had in mind that old world when he wrote this. There are other generations and other people that's been turned over to a reprobate mind, but this is a perfect picture of the pre-flood world. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Well, you can put a check mark right there because God sent a flood upon the earth. And we could say God judged Sodom and Gomorrah in the same way. The wrath of God was revealed from heaven. God doesn't like sin. Verse 19 and 20, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now we know that crowd was without excuse. They had Enoch, they had Noah, they had Adam, they had Abel, they knew that it took the blood. They knew that God hated sin. They're without excuse. Put a check mark right there. Verse 21 through 23. Because that when they knew God, now they did know God. Talking about before the days of Noah, before the flood, they knew God. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And I'm not studying to get all into that, but that pre-flood religion was full of idolatry and worshiping the stars and four-footed beasts and... Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Remember how God said they were all evil and wicked and corrupt. And violence upon the earth. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God turned that generation over to a reprobate mind. I believe that's 100 years where nobody could get saved. The ones that was. And the ones that wasn't, they didn't like God, didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. They corrupted their ways upon the earth. And God came to Noah and He said, done with them. And God, in His long suffering, waited 100 years for Noah to build an ark to save him and his family and start all over again. God is never done, but God does get done with generations. God gets done. There's a place with people that God says, I'm going no farther with them. There's a place, the Word of God teaches that if people do not like to keep God in their knowledge and they want to do all these things, the Bible says God will turn them over to a reprobate mind. That means an unapproved mind. That means that God turns the spiritual light off and it doesn't come back on either. It is untelling in our day and time how many people you and I deal with that God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. Now, I don't know who that is. I think I got a good idea. I'm not saying don't witness to people. I'm not saying everybody's turned over to a reprobate mind. But the Word of God teaches us that God does turn people over to a reprobate mind for their wickedness and their ungodliness. And as it was in the days of Noah, are we not living in days like the days of Noah? Don't you think in these last days there's a whole lot of people going around, God's turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You read over there. And so, if that's not what's going on in the day and time in which we live, how else can you explain that God has done everything under the sun and with the sun to get people's attention, but nobody's attention's being got, seems like. You know, last Wednesday night, last thing I said was in the last days, there'd be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And that next morning, on the news, you know what the news said? The news said that there's a solar storm. Worst in years and years. Might black out, and you know, you've heard that before. That's how people are. You've heard all that before. Oh, it came about, wasn't as bad as they thought it was. Then a couple of days later, it's a little worse than they thought it was. One of these days, Word of God says, the sun is going to scorch the men upon the earth. And they'll cry out to the rocks and the hills and they'll fall on them and kill them, but they won't cry out to God. And so, it's an interesting time that we live in. And so, was Noah preaching all them years while he was hammering on that ark? I don't believe he was. I believe he was just working on the ark. There's another verse that makes me think, he was just working on the ark. Matthew 24 and 39, the Bible says about the flood, it says, in the days of Noah, it says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They didn't even know what was going on. They was just going about marrying and giving in marriage and eating and drinking and planting and building. They didn't even know. They didn't even know what was going on. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Isn't that interesting? Look over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. And I'm getting down to the end here. When I said I was getting down to the end, I was on my last page, is what I'm. My last page of the notes that I didn't have. And Hebrews 11 and verse number 7. While you're turning there, wherever you find Noah's name in the Bible, it's mentioned along with righteousness. Righteousness is important. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. In Ezekiel chapter 14, read that when you get home. God talks about the nation of Israel. Would He spare them because of their sinfulness? And He said, if Noah and Daniel and Job were there, they'd only escape by their own righteousness. You read that. It's in two verses in Ezekiel 14. Hebrews 11 in verse number 7, the Bible said, by faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. To be a preacher of righteousness is not to go around like maybe you've heard and thought before that Noah went around and said, better not do that. Better not do that. That's not a preacher of righteousness. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. To be a preacher of righteousness is to proclaim that the only way to escape the judgment of God is through righteousness and being righteous. It's not our righteousness, but His righteousness that we need. The only reason Noah escaped the judgment of God is because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The only way you'll escape the judgment of God is to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And to be a preacher of righteousness, the only way to be righteous is by Christ. You see, He's the ark of safety. That ark is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah became heir, the Bible says, of the righteousness which is by faith. And that is our message. Now, we're not to go out here in the world and tell people, you better quit doing that. That's not going to get them to heaven. We need to go out here and tell this lost and dying world, if you're going to escape the judgment of God, you need the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to escape. People think they're going to get a pantry full of food and escape the tribulation. That's a joke. If they don't have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the ark. He's the ark of safety. You better get in before it's too late. And it looks to me like it's quickly getting too late. It won't ever be too late until the trump of God sounds, but Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. If we're not out here doing our job and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you this, the devil's preaching to them. And he's reaching them. He's corrupting them. Young people know more now than I knew as a grown man about wickedness and ungodliness. It has an effect upon their mind and their heart and their soul. They're harder to reach because of these things in the world. And they go far down that road, and there's a place where God turns them over to a reprobate mind. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah and the ark are generally regarded as a type of the Jew during the tribulation, but Noah is also a type of the rapture. And I like to think about Noah like this. One day, we're going to step out of this world of sin. We, at the voice of God, we'll do that. The trumpet of God. We'll step out of this old sin-cursed world. We will be born up above the tribulations that are going on in this world. And praise God, we'll step out on the other side. And there'll be some work to be done in that new world, but it'll be done right. I like to think about that. It's disheartening days we're living in, but it's exciting days. Now, which side you want to dwell on? The Lord's coming soon. The church ought to be full. I've said that for years. The church ought to be full. But it's not. Once again, letting us know the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. So we'll jump off right there. The rapture of the church is our blessed hope. And when people's talking about 2012 and preparing for this and that, and I'm for being prepared. Don't get me wrong. We don't know what we'll face, but people need to be spiritually prepared. First and foremost, need the Lord. That's far above and beyond anything else. Need to be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. So I appreciate your good attention. Let's come to our feet.